the goal really is important. But once you set it, and you got to really believe in it. But then after that, it's just doing the delayed gratification, just focusing, knowing your heart that, hey, this is what I truly believe is what's going to get me to that goal. And then doing it, and then reflecting on, okay, have I been doing what I'm supposed to do on a daily, weekly basis to hit that goal? If you didn't hit the goal, well, did you do what you thought you had to do to get there? And you look at it and it's like, oh no, I didn't. Okay, well, why don't we start there first? And then it's like, okay, did I hit my goal? No, but did I do what I was supposed to do, what I thought I needed to do to get there? Yeah, I did this, this, and this. And I still didn't get there. I was okay, well, fine. Now let's just fine tune the systems. And what do you think we need to improve to get there?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B.
How you doing, Ken?
So last time we were talking about goals, right? Goals and systems.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think I need to do a continuation on that.
Okay, let's do it.
And so we'll do that. So I will say, can I brag or be happy?
Of course.
A few things?
It is your podcast, so.
It is my podcast, but it's really, of course, it's all about me and my experiences to help others. So talk about goals and checklists. I had a goal to get it in Memorial Day weekend. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, the joys of being busy. You just get busy. And
sure.
So what I do, it works, very important to me. I love it. And then, so you start putting things in the back burner. But then we've talked about this, like perfect day, perfect week. You need to hit the refresh button. And if you're not taking off at least one day a week, trust me, do it because it'll improve things. So we finally were out yesterday. Got the boat on the water, Lake Tahoe, took out some friends and clients, but
nice.
A good friend of mine for a long, long time. And boy, I was thinking about the raft phenomenon. Like, I like sweating, so tired. And I mean, there's a lot of work. I mean, just detailing the boat last minute, all this stuff. So it's wax and prep. And so it could stay out in the lake, moored on a buoy, the whole summer. And we go, I am just couldn't wait to jump in the water, but then I remembered it's super cold. And I was like thinking about the Raft Phenomena podcast. So like, so I just dove right in. And like,
nice.
Boy. That might not be the healthiest thing for some people. Trust me, Tahoe, who haven't experienced it, maybe you shouldn't do that. So I'm putting that disclaimer out there. There might be some health consequences. But it really did hurt. but after, you know, after a minute, it's like, oh, I feel reborn again.
It's the return on investment, right?
It is the return on the investment,
like
no pain, no gain.
Well, yeah, right. Because not only the pain of the cold water, but also the pain of the detailing and the hassle of the dock and all the stuff that you had to go through just to get out there, it was return on investment. That's what was motivating you to do it. And when you're talking about goals,
oh, yeah,
whether it's financially related or anything, it's, you got to think about that end game.
Thank you.
Sure.
Goal. Boy, are you good.
Why, thank you.
You're so good. Thank God I have you as my co-host. But the goal part, what you said, I went through a lot of pain truly this week in getting that boat prepped because I try to be very proactive over a month or so. Here's goals. I didn't hit my goal. I wanted in before Memorial Day weekend or right that day, that weekend.
Right.
Didn't occur. So obviously way, way behind schedule. And so I take it to a shop. Talk about coincidence. So I take it to the shop and you take it in to get prepped up and it comes back. It wasn't damaged prior and it comes back and it's damaged.
Mm,
that's
awful.
Great.
Yeah.
So not fun digging in like boohoo. Wow, I got a boat and I'm complaining about having a boat. But anyone who's a boat owner listening to this and you understand. It's just there's an effort. I mean, electricity, engines, water just has this ability to make things not last as long, right? And so I'm in there reaching back, something that if I had the engine right in front of me, I could have changed in 5 minutes and been done. But when you're digging your arm around a huge 8.1 liter engine, around fiberglass, around bolts and metal, and you're blind, you can't see what you're doing, trying to put three bolts in, taking one out, put a new one in, which should take 5 minutes, is about an hour and a half process.
Oh,
it's really
goodness.
Brutal.
And your arm was all scraped up and bruised.
Oh, yeah, bloody, cut. I mean, my wife was like, what did you do? My arms like got burnt. And of course, it was super hot outside. So, but anyway, boo-hoo. But you're right. The reason why I was so focused is because I knew the joy of what was to come, like getting to share the experience with people. You know, my family, me. Here, I'm selfish. I mean, I wouldn't go out by myself anymore. But when I was a kid, I used to go out and water. My brothers couldn't go play. I'd go out all the time. You know, even though it's not the best practice, go out boating by yourself. But I just love being out in the water and then get to share it with my family and friends and clients that I, you know, that want to come up and go play. It's really a good time. And so it's worth busting up my hands, my arms, and cutting myself up to go through that effort to finally get it in. And yeah, what a reward. We made it. It was in the water. And yay, and the boat didn't sink. You know, I watched it all day. It didn't sink, thank goodness. So it is. And checklists are important. I have a checklist that I go through, which maybe we'll tie to today a little bit.
Sure.
For somehow full time again. There's a reason to go through that pain. And I will talk about delayed gratification. I don't know if I brought this up in the last podcast, but it's good for me to revisit if I didn't.
Yeah.
I am all about delayed gratification. And when you talk to you talk to me or you talk to my clients, been very successful on the financial space. Mm-hmm. Delayed gratification is a big component. And I mean, all these people have hit it big financially or have done really well, families. I'm sure there's luck in all of it. But isn't it amazing that the harder you work, the luckier you get? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yes. And you add smarter and add some good systems and goals, et cetera. But the harder you work, you seem to, you know, the luckier you get. And but delayed gratification is a big component, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so there's delayed gratification, getting that boat in the water. But I just kept working on it and then surround myself, hey, come on, brother, help me on this. And my wife, she's helping in this piece and getting this team around you to get you towards that common goal, which is just pure fun and joy, as long as the boat doesn't sink, right? So,
yep.
And it didn't. Yeah. It didn't sink. I'm here doing the podcast. We had a great time. And then the memories I have and then the pictures my brother took and my little guy playing, and, you know, it was just really fun, you know, and friends coming up. Nice. So it was great. And so that's, yes. I'm so glad you picked up on the whole, it's worth it. The pain's worth it. Right.
Absolutely.
And so, and there's financial pain when it comes to boats too. So I would argue as an investment advisor, it's probably not your best investment if you're just looking at the dollar symbols. You know, it's like talking to people who race. You know, if you ever talk to racers, you know, going out on the track, right? Four wheel, open wheel racing, whatever. The best way to make a little money in racing. Heard that?
No, but I can guess where you're going. Please tell us.
Start off with a lot of money.
Oh.
So boats are definitely not investment if you're looking at it from a financial space. I mean, typically, I can't think of a boat that you make money on, really. But the joys are immeasurable. So systems and goals. I was going to talk about a tennis story. Think it'll really apply to this whole thing and delay gratification. But delay gratification is really important. I mean, what I talk about the Bankosaurus, right? Mm-hmm. There's not an immediate gratification there. It takes time. But if you know 10 years from now, you're still going to be alive. And you know, if you can design things with a whole life policy in the right way, if you're focused on the Bankosaurus part, you know, creating a lot of cash value, not so much focus on the death benefit, you do it right. I haven't found a better game for savings, right? And so... I had a question, a listener asked a question the other week. This has actually been a very consistent question. It's like, do I have to wait to have all this money stored up on an annual basis to start a Bankosaurus, or can I start monthly? So to all those that had that question or others haven't reached out to ask that question, of course you can start monthly.
Mm.
You can do monthly. And I shouldn't say of course, because that's a great question. And I didn't address that, obviously, because it was asked. Numerous times.
Yeah.
And so that's my tangent on the Bankosaurus. You know, you don't have to wait for years to start this process. I mean, you can fund it monthly. But systems and goals, delayed gratification makes a lot of sense. So I spent a month of delayed gratification to finally get that goal, boat in the water, because I knew the joy. Regards to the tennis, years ago, and boy, I don't know if it was 4 or 5 years ago now, but I really started getting into playing tennis and doing tennis leagues here in Northern Nevada, Northern California. And I found out about a tournament. It was called the Grand Prix. And if you are in the top eight, you get invited to play at a really good club. Usually, I believe it's always been held in Northern California. And so that's a commute. That's a good commute, hour and a half to 2 hours typically to get into the Sacramento, Roseville area. And but you get invited, you get your own judge, a chair judge. Have you ever played tennis, Tammy?
No, okay. Except like in high school PE.
But I had this goal, like if you were the top eight, and there's tournaments held all throughout the season. It's about a year long. And if you get enough points, I mean, so it's just all of us want to be pros, right? I just was rated, anyone who's a USTA player, I was rated 3-5 at the time. And I just saw this great opportunity. I was like, man, I really want to get invited to be the select eight, to go play, and you get all the swag, you get sweats. But let me talk about it in the fact that I had a goal is I want to get invited. Mm-hmm. And then I broke it down. And oh my gosh, there's so many books and YouTube stuff out there. And time, I don't mean to sound, I want to say time gurus, time management gurus, but people that, I mean that in a elevating way.
Sure.
That it provides such great information how to obtain it. And I've read all this stuff, watched all this stuff, and sought out, all of it, right? As much as I can. I still want to get better on all those pieces. But the part, I just want to talk about my experience, how it could equate and how it ties to the money side as well, is that I wanted to be invited. And I knew I had to compete in at least six tournaments. So the goal, get invited in October of that year. So... mm-hmm. But then I was like, okay, what are the rules? Well, the rules are you had to play at least six tournaments. And then you had to be the top eight in points and from all these tournaments. And I'm like, okay, great. So those are the rules. That's part of the goals, I guess, the metrics, what I need to do. And okay, so how am I going to get there?
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, I've taken pro tennis pro lessons in person. But then isn't video amazing and YouTube amazing? And so I found a couple really good programs that are online that I would watch the videos. And literally, this is how anal I got. But I would bring it. I brought my iPhone with me. And I was like, okay, I know I'm really dominant with my forehand. And I got a pretty good serve. My backhand, depends. Some days it comes with me. Some days it doesn't. But I got some local. I had a good friend, good tennis player. He started playing with me and mentoring me. I said, hey, I have a goal. I want to get to this tournament. And, he says, I'll help you. And so he played with me and he would give me feedback. And then he's one told me, he says, Ken, your forehand, play around that forehand. It's dominant. So find a way to set it up. And then, so I was okay. I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to watch a video and I'm going to practice this literally. Now here's the delay gratification. And it sounds real anal, but literally for like 30 minutes, I would do like, 100 really like focus on my grip, rotating how I rotated my hand over and over and over again. So it was natural. And then once I got that check, then I would work on my take back and how I pivoted my feet. And then I would work on how, and then watch on video how I was hitting. And so I would go only three times, only fair amount, but I would practice three times a week. And then once a week I would take video and just work on, okay, how do I get this forehand to this level? And then I'd start working on, and then I would see if that was working well. And then I apply it in tournament. Mm-hmm. And then based upon that feedback loop, I was like, okay, this is what I did well. This is what I didn't do well. And then I would watch, now I'm going to work. Now I need to work on my serve. And so I take video of it and say, oh, that's what the pros have been telling me forever. It's amazing when you see it on video. Yeah. You think you look so good, and then you watch yourself on video. I'm like, oh my gosh, do I look like an oaf? So now I know what they're trying to tell me. But we're saying it nicely because they charge a lot for it. So I'm like, now I know what he's telling me. Now I know what she's telling me. So then it's amazing. You see that in video, very quick to make that correction. And then start working on that technique. But literally like hundreds and hundreds of repetitions, just perfecting one simple element, getting that simple element perfect for me, not perfect for a pro, obviously, but then get it better. But I knew I had to break it down into little micro, like practice systems, right? Mm-hmm. And so what was my system? I'm going to watch a video and I'm going to apply that technique. And I'm going to over and over and over again. And then once we're there, I'm going to go to the next level. And then the next level. I'm not going to cheat. So there's a lot of delay gratification. I'm not going to jump. If it's like eight lessons, I'm not going to go right to eight. I'm going to start at one. I'm going to build this solid foundation. and then fine tune and fine tune.
Right.
Does that make some sense?
Absolutely. Yep.
And so that might sound really boring, hitting one stroke 100 times and doing dry runs. Literally, like, if anyone, guns is kind of a sensitive topic, but you hear people like, gun training in the past, like before you even shoot ammo or to practice, a lot of them will pull the trigger without even ammo in there, just to get used to that feeling. And so I would practice at my house, just the racket in my hand and spinning it and catching it, spinning it, like not catching it, like physically spinning it in the air, but like how I rotated across the bevels. Mm-hmm. And, but that kind of, it might sound boring, but to me it was fascinating. I just wanted to get it perfect before I moved to the next level.
Sure.
But doing that, the video, practicing 3 times a week, those are the systems, those are the weekly habits, the daily habits of what I needed to do to hopefully hit that goal. And then fine-tuning in between. So I got invited to go play, and I was super excited. And I told my wife, I said, holy cow, I got invited. I was in, I think, five of eight. So I was in the top eight. And I was like, holy cow, I was telling my wife,
nice.
I made it. I got invited. I got to switch my goal.
Nice.
My goal was to get invited. Well, now I got invited. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. I was like, now I want to win it.
Yeah.
And I knew my arch nemesis who I had to go against. And this guy's like an incredible, it's known as a pusher, where this guy could just put the ball anywhere he wanted. And he's like a rubber wall. And I was like, what do I need to beat him? And it was one thing that was incredibly uncomfortable to me. I like hitting it, staying at the baseline. I knew I wanted to win it now. And I knew I had to make myself very uncomfortable and go to the net, which mm-hmm. I don't like going to the net.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I practiced for those 3 weeks was to defeat my nemesis, who we were like split. I think he won 2, I won 2 that season. Or maybe he was 1 ahead of me and that was our 4th one. Was in the final at the Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I worked on. I worked on it. So the first set, thank goodness for my judge, a couple close calls went my way. He called them out and they're in. Won the first set. Second set, I kept focusing on what I knew the system had to be. Like, what, not the outcome. I knew I wanted to win, but I was like, what do I need to do? And I think the second set, I lost like 6-0 or 6-1, but I was doing everything I needed to do. I just kept missing by a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I look over and my wife's like, just so bummed, like, man, you're toast. Like really concerned for me. And I was like, don't worry. I got it. I'm doing everything right. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third set, I won it 6-0.
Nice.
Yeah, I think my memory's right. Maybe it was 6-1, but I think it was 6-0. And it was just such a great tournament, such a nice guy, fighter through and through. But by applying what I knew I needed to do to hit that goal, I did something uncomfortable. Practice for a whole month, going to the net, going to the net, going to the net. And that was what I knew I needed, system-wise, what I had to do to defeat him. And I might not have hit that goal because mm-hmm. obviously the second set, I was down. I got my butt handed to me the second set.
Right.
But I kept applying what I knew. I didn't see the Oh, Tammy, you'll love this.
Tell me.
I didn't see the results yet. But I knew in my heart, the strategy and the system was right.
Yep.
And I had to keep applying that to achieve the goal of winning. And I won. I beat my nemesis. So that was the first one. And then made it through the whole thing and then won the whole Grand Prix. So, but that's the story, is that I had the goal of going. And then I was, okay, what are the rules and regs? What do we got to do to get to that goal? And then what do we got to do to break it down to habits and systems? And for me, I knew I surrounded myself with these experts, this environment. These guys had really good video, really nice people that wanted to be on that path to help me win.
Mm-hmm.
And they had fun playing tennis with me because I am fun to play with. You know, unless you're a jerk, then I'm not so fun. but I mean, I'm a lot of fun to play with. And so they helped me because that someone from the side watching what I was doing wrong could give me that immediate feedback. The video from in person, the video, and then experts showing me what to do, and then me applying, okay, I am willing to do this on a weekly, daily habit to hit that goal.
Right.
And I might not have hit it, but I hit it and actually went beyond it, just focusing on systems and habits and what worked for my my personality. And for me, I really do like, I can get very, very, I guess you could, I don't know what the correct medical term would be, but yeah, I get really zoned in and I have no problem doing something over and over and over again until it feels just right, until I move to the next step. And so also I'd argue that's why I'm patting myself on the back now, but I'd argue that's why I'm so good on the investment side. I do things over and over and over again until I find that magic formula before I move on, right? It's all about that foundation.
Right.
So anyway, systems, goals, all that. That's why I just wanted to share. It was my fun little tennis story. So it was really fun. One of my clients who's become a good friend, he saw the ranking and I won that Grand Prix for that year. I think it was about 4 years ago. He and his wife asked for my autograph on it. So I thought that was pretty funny. And the USTA, art magazine or whatever it was. So I thought that was pretty neat. So, famous with 200 people, maybe. There's Ken Green, you know, so, and 3-5 is not a very high ranking, but it was fun. And of course I got bumped up, but that was my whole story on, you know, the goal really is important. But once you set it and you got to really believe in it, but then after that, it's just doing the delay gratification, just focusing, knowing your heart that, hey, this is what I truly believe is what's going to get me to that goal. And then doing it and then reflecting on, okay, have I been doing what I'm supposed to do on a daily, weekly basis to hit that goal? If you didn't hit the goal, well, did you do what you thought you had to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And you look at it and it's like, oh, no, I didn't. Okay, well, why don't we start there first? And then it's like, okay, did I hit my goal? No. But did I do what I was supposed to do, what I thought I needed to do to get there? Yeah, I did this, this, and this. And I still didn't get there. I was, okay, well, fine. Now let's just fine-tune the systems. And what do you think we need to improve to get there? And so I've set tons of goals and never hit them. Not on the timeline, but eventually. And so that was the thing I wanted to share on the tennis side and my tangents on delay gratification, I guess, on the water.
There are a couple other things in that story that I would love to point out, if that's okay. A couple of other things that you did right off the bat, you chose a goal that played to your strengths. So your strength was the forearm. And so even though there are probably plenty of other things in the tennis world that you could have focused on and tried to improve, like try to improve your weaknesses, it's really not smart, nor is it efficient to try to improve an area in which you are deficient. So you took your strengths and you worked on them and you focused your goal around your strengths. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, thank you. That's a great point. Yeah. There's no way I was going to prove everything in my game.
Right.
And so that's a great point. Yeah. I went to my strength first, focus on the strength.
Yeah.
Just make it even better.
Yeah. It's a huge waste of time. And there's a whole thing about, try to improve your, keep your strengths the same and improve your weaknesses. I can't remember how it says, but I think it's a huge waste of time.
I agree.
And then the other thing that you did that I love in the second set, it was so tempting to get discouraged and to beat yourself with your own measuring stick, but you didn't. You looked back, just like what you just mentioned. You looked back at the things that you needed to do and you were confident that you were doing them. And so you let time play out and it eventually won. And to your point, you may not always achieve the goal, but if you're doing the strategies, the action steps, whatever that you've set for yourself, that's the real winning. That's the real return on investment is when, even in a saving strategy, if every month you've set aside, you're going to save $40. Every time you save $40, that should be a win. That should be confidence to you that you're on the right track and you're doing what you need to do in order to eventually win the day or the goal or the dream, whatever.
That's really good, Tammy. Thank you. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
Oh, good.
And I have one more. You ready? The other thing that you did so right, I think, is to your point, as soon as you achieved the first goal, you got in, you immediately set a second goal.
Yes, I did. I immediately reset it. Once I got invited, I have to win this now. That was the new goal.
Yep.
And if I didn't hit it, I still have been very proud of myself. But boy, was I really proud of myself winning it. I'm like, holy cow, I did it.
Yeah. Because you were doing those consistent behaviors.
Yeah, yes. So thank you. So goals and systems. Awesome, Tammy. Thank you. Yeah. I like a huge smile on my face right now.
So. Good. That's what we're here for.
Well, that's why it's about teams, right? That's why I have you on, you know.
That's right.
That's me. Well, I guess that's it. I mean, that's systems and goals. I think that's enough to tie it. Maybe we'll tie money now on the next one. All right. I gave some really fun, real stories that were great to share. And I hope that hits, you know, the sweet spot for those listening. And thank you for adding that at the end. That was great. That was really good.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait for this podcast. I'm going to re-listen to it for sure. I'll probably go right to the end part because I already know the other parts of the story. Mm-hmm. So, but everyone listening, thank you so much. I love doing this. And if you want to learn more, go to my website, engineerfinance.com. I got really fun things coming on the website. So I will announce that when it's ready for everyone to enjoy watching. And so I think that's it for now. Oh, or pick up the phone. A lot of people are afraid to pick up the phone. I'm very approachable. I'm a real person. And so if people have other questions and you don't want to shoot me an email, please don't hesitate to call 775-624-8839. And thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing my podcast. And thank you for the reviews and the stars. I love it. I really do. And I know I'm making a difference doing this, sharing my silly stories to everyone, but they're fun. And I love the parts you always add, Tammy, to what comes out. And so thank you.
Absolutely.
And you want to do the cool sign off?
Sure. I would add, if you know someone who has some financial questions and is concerned about picking up the phone, you know, because of obligation, or maybe they're embarrassed by their situation, share one of these podcasts, especially the ones where Ken shares his personal stories, because I think through the podcast, they'll recognize that he is a very personal person and he's just very non-judgmental, easygoing and funny. And, you know, he could be spending these podcasts talking about all these financial principles that would frankly go over my head. You know me, I have to get out the calculator for anything simple. And yet he doesn't. He chooses to use his personal stories to make analogies to financial principles that can help. So please do share this podcast with people who are concerned about picking up the phone and getting their questions answered. Now is better than later. So thanks again to everyone listening, and we'll see you next time right here on the Engineer of Finance podcast with Mr. Ken Green.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance show with Ken Green.